Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
So we are in the second week of our sermon series, The Vicious Cycle. Listen, if you were not here last week, how many of you, when you hear that word, like that phrase, the vicious cycle, it's like, ugh. It doesn't even sound appealing, does it? Nobody likes to be caught in cycles. It's exhausting. It's sickening. When I think of like a cycle going around, and I think of like, you know, a carousel, and those make me nauseous, right? Okay? So last week, Pastor Jason kind of kicked off the whole series. And he spoke about the portion of scripture in Matthew chapter 6. And he talked about, like, Jesus was teaching us about where our hearts are, where our treasure, what we value. What we value indicates the condition of our hearts. And when our value and treasure is misplaced, we end up in a vicious cycle of trying to acquire more and work more and make more money in order to acquire more, right? And today in this second message series, today's title, it's so uplifting. I can't wait to share it with you. The title of today's message is Trapped. Doesn't that sound fun? Trapped in the vicious cycle, right? I know, aren't you so excited about it? I am, right? But the vicious cycle that Jesus was talking about in having our treasure be misplaced. When our treasure is misplaced, we get caught and trapped in this vicious cycle of trying to keep up with it and trying to keep present with it when we don't have our treasure placed in the right place. Actually, what happens is we end up living in exhaustion, worry, and anxiety. It's true. Oh, Avi, do you have your camera here? Just take a... Okay. Listen, I'm always getting teased that when I'm preaching, they can never get a good picture of me. I'm always making some funny face or my eyes are closed. So I was getting ready to pose for the camera, but I guess she already got one of me. So there we go. Okay? So today's portion of scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 to 24, I'm going to read it. And then we're going to kind of break it down. We're going to break it down a little bit different than we normally would. Here we go. So Jesus just finished teaching or speaking in the verses above this about where our treasure is, what we value. And here's what the next thing he says. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your whole for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. Sit in that for just a second. If the light that you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. Then he goes on to say this. Get ready. No one can serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money.
Wow.
Right? I'm going to take a little bit of a backwards approach to today's message. Typically, like, we'll take the portion of scripture that we're preaching on, and we'll start from the top and work our way to the bottom. And really, as I was just preparing, God just said, start at the bottom. Start there. And so today, I'm going to do that. I'm going to start at the bottom of our passage of scripture, and then I'm going to go back up to the top of it. And I think you'll really enjoy it. How's that? So the first question I have for you today is this. Who is your leader? Who is your leader. I want to tell you this story. I'm not going to tell, yes, I am, because she can handle it. I was going to say I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I am, because she can handle it. So some of you know, if you don't know, Jason and I have four kids. Avi, our worship creative arts pastor, is our oldest. We have a son, Brian, who lives in Bend. And then we have our twin daughters, Audrey and Julia, who you see up here on the worship team a lot. And when Audrey, well, and Julia too, because they're twins, when Audrey was in kindergarten, maybe first grade, she came home from school and she was complaining about, like, doing things that she didn't want to do. Not that she was getting in trouble, necessarily, but that she was, like, playing on the monkey bars when she really wanted to be swinging on the swings. Or, you know, in her classroom, like, she was going to one station when she actually wanted to be over at this other station. And I said, so, Audrey, just do what you want to do then. Like, if that's, why are you doing the things that you don't want to do? And she said, well, my leader told me I had to. I said, what? What do you mean, your leader? She goes, yeah, my leader. My leader said I had to swing on the swings. My leader said I had to go to that station. And I said, who's your leader? And she tells me this girl's name, and she said, and I don't even really like her that much because, like, her hair smells like Fritos. And I said, Audrey, she is not your leader. She is not your leader. You have one leader in your life, and that's Jesus, and also your parents right now because you're seven. But you have one leader. It's Jesus. And guys, I learned a huge lesson from Audrey at that point, because everyone wants to be our leader. Everything would like to lead us, right? And we have to make a choice as to who is our leader. Jesus said it right here in our passage of Scripture. He said, no one can serve two masters. You'll either love one and hate the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. We can't serve two masters. So Jesus, right here at the bottom of this passage, is asking us to evaluate our lives and answer the question, who is your leader? Who is leading you? Who are you following? Now, Jesus was referring to money at that point because he was talking to the people specifically about money and resources and the danger of valuing those things above everything else. But we could become enslaved to anything, right? We can become enslaved to those we spend time with. Let that sink in for a minute. We can become enslaved by the approval of others. We can become enslaved by our culture. Like the popular opinion of today's society, other known as the world, right? Those are all things that can easily enslave us, because there's two kingdoms that are constantly warring over our attention. I want you to listen really carefully right now. I'm throwing out a lot of ideas at you because this is all the stuff that Holy Spirit was pouring into me this week as I was taking time and reading over this. There's two kingdoms that are constantly warring for our attention. There's the kingdom of heaven, who is ruled by God. And there's the kingdom of darkness, who's ruled by Satan. There's no in between. Heaven or hell, light or darkness. Those are the two kingdoms that are constantly warring over you and I, right? And each kingdom has its own currency in which it measures treasure. Listen, the kingdom of heaven has a currency of grace, of love, of faith, of generosity. The kingdom of darkness has a currency of accusation and gossip and self-centeredness and greed. Who's your leader? Who is it? Listen to what Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Man, Paul had a way with words. I'm actually doing a study on Galatians right now. Paul had a way with words. Here's what he said. The sinful nature, that's the kingdom of darkness, wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit, that's the kingdom of heaven, wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Do you see the battle? Like, do you see it right here? Right in this verse. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Ooh. Guys, it's never going to be easy to choose the right thing. It's not. It is actually set up so it's very easy to choose darkness because we live in a sinful world. It's always easy to choose darkness. And if we choose to allow the kingdom of heaven, to allow Father God, Holy Spirit, Jesus to direct our lives, there's always going to be a battle to pull us back over here. Who is your leader? The next question I have for you is, what is feeding your soul? What's feeding it? Jesus said at the very beginning of our section today, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. So the things we look at feed our soul. What we read, what we watch, what we focus on, those are all things that feed our soul. So what are you feeding your soul? Right? Jesus went on to say, when your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. Well, what makes our eyes healthy? What makes it healthy? And I'm going to kind of just go with what came to my mind, but this is not an exhaustive list, okay? Spending quiet, daily quiet time with Jesus. Reading our Bible. Guys, I want to take a moment here. And I meant to bring my Bible with me this morning, and I walked out of the house without it. I'm gonna challenge you to something. Everyone in this room should have a physical Bible. You don't have to bring it to church with you, but you should have a physical Bible in your home that you are reading every day. Our nation, sometimes I think we take this for granted. We don't have to ask permission to have God's word. We don't have to have people smuggle in Bibles to us so that we can have just a page of the Bible. We have full and complete access to God's word, and I don't think we take it for granted. We don't take advantage of that. Yes, of course, we all have access to it on our phones. And this is what makes it so beautiful, is you can use that app on your phone, the Bible app on your phone, to find out exactly what translation of the Bible you like and that makes sense to you. So then you can buy a physical Bible in that translation. So everyone should have a physical Bible. There might be a day when we don't have the electronic copy anymore. I'm just saying. So raise your Bible. Listen to worship music. Listen to sermons or podcasts. Spending time with like-minded people. These are things that make our eyes healthy, that feeds our souls, right? Listen to what David said about God's word in Psalms 119, 105. He said, "How sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." Guys, when we spend time with Jesus, we begin to hate the false way of living. When we are not spending time with Jesus, that false way of living becomes very attractive, seductive. And we find ourselves closer and closer to that and further from Jesus. And Jesus said this, "But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness." Well, what makes our eyes unhealthy? Again, not an exhaustive list. Anything that takes priority over God. Anything. I'm going to tell you a little, I'm going to tattle on myself here for just a minute, okay? For about 2 years straight, I was getting up every morning and having a shortened time with Jesus so that I could get to the gym and work out. And I found myself, although my physical body was feeling really good, I found myself becoming pretty dry and empty inside. And Jesus was speaking to me like, "Listen, you can't take the shortcut. If you want to hear my voice, you have to spend quiet time with me. If you want to be filled up, you have to spend quiet time with me." So I ended up canceling my gym membership and spending my hour and a half every morning with Jesus. And about 3 months ago, some of my kids were like, "Hey, do you guys want to do a family gym membership? It's a lot cheaper, and we can get up and go together in the mornings." And you know, I was like, "That sounds like a lot of fun." Yeah, and I did it. And again, I started feeling dry and empty, unable to handle the things that came at me. And Jesus was like, "Still doesn't change. Still doesn't change. You have to spend time with me." And so I ended up telling my kids, like, "Listen, I can't. I got to find something else. Like, do something else. Because I cannot sacrifice my time in the morning." So anything that takes priority over God is unhealthy for our souls. Right? The more time we spend on those things, the more unhealthy we become. And I'm not talking about extremes here, okay? Like, "Oh my gosh, Pastor Paul said I shouldn't watch any television. I shouldn't watch any Netflix. I'm not talking about that. Like, moderation. I enjoy sitting down and watching a good movie too. I enjoy finding a good show and watching it in moderation. Not binge watching, but in moderation. And the last thing I want to say about this section of scripture is this. Check your temperature. Check your temperature. Here's what Jesus said. And guys, this is going to blow your mind. "And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is." I think another way to say it is this. This is the Paula version of this. If you believe the signs you are getting of spiritual unhealth are actually indicators of health, you're one sick puppy. Okay? If you believe the signs you're getting of spiritual unhealth are actually indicators of health, you're one sick puppy. That's what Jesus was saying. If the light you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. One of the biggest indicators for myself that my body is fighting some type of like virus or infection is my temperature. And when my temperature gets above like 99.1, I start to feel off. Like I feel it. And I have two choices. I can choose to ignore it and just keep on moving. Because at that point, when it's like 99.3, I can ignore it and I can just power on. I can choose to think that I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm not sick. I'm fine. But that doesn't change what's happening in my body. No matter what I tell myself, no matter how many times I say, I'm fine, that indicator still stays the same, right? And if I continue to carry on as normal and ignore the signs that my body is giving me, I make it more difficult for my body to fight whatever it's fighting. And I also put other people at risk because whatever I'm fighting could affect them too. Right? But when I pay attention to what my body is saying to me and I give it a break and I take some time, I can quickly recover and get back on with life and get back to life. Are you guys ready for this?
Pull in your toes.
There's a lot of places in Scripture. I found three different. There might even be more that talk about Christians, people that have declared that they believe Jesus was God's son who came to earth as a human, who was born on as a human, who lived a completely sinless life, died a sinless death, and rose again in order that we can now have access to heaven and accept his forgiveness and lead a life directed by him. If you've made that decision, then you're a Christian. You're a believer in Jesus, okay? And there's various places in Scripture where it talks about Christians being in the world, but not of the world, okay? Some examples are John 15, 19, John 17, 16, Romans 12, 12. And this week, someone shared with me a clip from a message that T.D. Jakes was preaching. And I'm just going to share with you this example that T.D. Jakes used for this because it blew my mind. And he said, this is what he said, you know, when we talk about Christians being in the world but not of the world, it's like this. You have a pot of water on the stove, okay? And the stove is turned on. And then you have a glass bottle of Coke. How many of you can picture a glass Coke bottle? Hope you can. I know it's like they don't have them around as much as they did, right? That used to be how that we used to actually get 8-packs of bottles, glass bottles of soda. And they came in this cool little carrying case. And then you put them back in there and you take them and exchange them. Anyhow, okay? It's a really great thing. Okay, a glass bottle filled with Coke. Okay? We can take that glass bottle that's filled with Coke and put it in that pot of water. Right? Can you picture that in your mind? Glass bottle filled with Coke inside a pot of water. That Coke is in the water, right? But it's not part of the water, is it? It's in there, but it has a shell around it, a protective bottle that keeps it in its own separate container. It's not of the water. But here's what happens. As that temperature rises, it affects that protective layer that is separating the Coke from the water, the glass bottle. And if we don't check the temperature of the water, we don't check the temperature of the Coke that's being affected by the temperature of the water, and if we leave it in there, pretty soon it's going to become so hot that it will actually shatter the glass. And then the Coke that was completely separated from the water then becomes part of the water. Right? We must be constantly checking our spiritual temperatures because we live in this world. This world is ruled by the kingdom of darkness that we live in. This earth is ruled by the kingdom of darkness. We live in it. But when we have a relationship with Jesus, we are not of this world. We are not part of what this world represents. Are you following me? And if we don't keep a check on our spiritual temperature and be like, oh, I'm feeling a little unhealthy, and remove ourselves for a little bit, then we can easily shatter that protective layer and become part of the very society that Jesus wants to keep us safe from. If things start feeling a little off, if we start feeling a little imbalanced, then we need to take a step back and remove ourselves for a while. Jesus modeled this when he would go away. Multiple times, if you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they talk about how Jesus would then go away by himself to pray and to be with the Father. And he would remove himself from society. Without the continual allowance of Holy Spirit to keep us in check, we will become confused and trapped in the confusion and the lies of this world. Check your temperature.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.